This one smell a little bit to you? No, I don't mean like Joe Biden sniffing people. I mean, literally, does this one smell to you? And what I'm referring to is the KCATA. All right. So the KCATA forces out the prior head. That is the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority. And now they hire Frank White's son. Frank White, of course, is the Jackson County executive. He's up for re-election this year against Teresa Galvin. They hire his son, Frank White III, and he's just conveniently pinch-hitting as the interim CEO. David Stokes is here on KCMO Talk Radio, the Show Me Institute, Missouri-based think tank. All right, David, good morning. What do you make of this one?
Well, it does smell. Let's get right to it, Pete, as you say. Right, I'd say this is a disturbing story from the very beginning, and this is just the latest twist in it. You know, as I've been writing on Twitter over the past few weeks on this, you know, it's Kansas City has a city manager system, and not a lot of big cities have that system. It's designed in theory to be less political. It allows operations of the city to go forward, more professionally run, less political. Well, if you ever had reason to doubt that, and there are many reasons to doubt that, but this story is a good one, because here you have the city manager going to the head of the KCATA and requesting, however you want to say it, $20 million from the transit agency, which was there for transit, to go to a street lighting project that the city wanted. And KCATA had the money and the city wanted it. Well, not surprisingly, the former CEO of KCATA, Mr. Mackinnon, he resisted this. So what do you do in a government when you resist what the top people tell you to do? Well, they fire you. They get you moved out, even though everything I think you're trying to do there is understandable. So, of course, they fire him. They give him a huge severance payout, more than twice as much as his contract called for.
What was the severance payout?
About $600,000 total. They only owed him 1 year's salary as part of the agreement. But, you know.
And what was the 1 year salary to run the KCATA?
About $225,000.
All right.
And then when they gave him 2 years' salary plus, you know, unused holiday time, unused sick time, the whole thing came to $600,000. And, not surprisingly, as part of that very generous payout, he signs an agreement not to sue, not to disparage them in public, all that pretty standard stuff. And now, miracle of miracles, the son of the Jackson County executive gets the position, not temporarily, as they're saying. We'll see what the long-term choice is, but it smells, and it's disturbing. And it's the bigger picture thing is, I'm not opposed to large cities like Kansas City having a city manager. It's more common in suburbs and smaller cities than in large cities like Kansas City, but that doesn't mean it's automatically wrong. And it may work well in some respects, but let's get away from this delusion that it makes it less political, because if you're Mr. Mackinnon and you resist, no matter how well you may be doing at your job, once you resist doing what you're told, you're out of there, damn it, and don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Damn it. Yeah, that's right. David, all right. So now here's the other side of this. Robbie Mackinnon, who ran the KCATA, somebody who a lot of people felt, from what I gathered, was maybe outside of his lane. You know, I mean, instead of being focused on making sure the buses are running well, he kind of wanted to get involved in maybe things that people viewed as outside of his purview. And maybe this was the final straw. I mean, if, you know, the city says, hey, $20 million, we got to replace the streetlights, and you're saying you got different pet projects, I'm not against the city manager coming out and being against that. Like, I'm not. So how would you respond to, just playing devil's advocate here, how would you respond to that part of the conversation?
Well, look, if he's got his own pet projects and the city manager is opposing that because it's not directly on point for transit, well, sure, that's fine. But I don't see where streetlights are something that's directly on point for transit. So it's like he might have had his pet projects, but the city manager and others have their own pet desires for it. Streetlights are important. We all know that. But if the money's budgeted for transit, don't get ticked at the transit CEO for resisting spending it on somebody else's pet project. Also, if he was doing a poor job, and I'm not in that office day to day, he may have been, why are they giving him twice the twice the entitled severance pay in order to have him keep his mouth shut. I would say if he's doing a bad job, fire him, pay him the severance pay he's entitled to, which is 1 year of salary plus unused vacation time. But in this case, you know, look, the taxpayers are the one paying the severance, so it's easier for the city to just force him out and then pay him enough money to get him to sign this agreement. So yes, if he's doing a bad job, then certainly the incredibly generous severance package he got would not indicate that that's the reason they got rid of him.
All right, so David Stokes, Show Me Institute on KCMO. The mayor and city council role in all this, is it fair to question their involvement here? If so, what would you ask, let's say, Mayor Quentin Lucas following this story?
It is fair to question him. I think, you know, they let the city manager, it's sort of a good cop, bad cop thing here. Let's let the unelected city manager be the heavy. Let's let him be in charge of doing the heavy work here. So, yeah, but I don't think it would have been done without the mayor's approval, tacit approval, and that of the city council as well. And then you throw in, you know, here, Mr. McEnany was removed because he wasn't playing ball on the money that they wanted. So they're going to put in somebody who presumably, as the son of the county executive, is going to be more amenable to the city's demands here. Look, I would really hope in the long run that they do conduct a national search here and don't just wait till after the next big election and then just appoint Frank White's son as the permanent CEO. Look, he may be well qualified for it. You're only going to know that if you conduct a legitimate, actual nationwide search, which they say they're going to do. But we'll see how that goes, and we'll see who applies when people read and understand how they just got rid of the prior guy.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's pretty appealing because they got rid of the prior guy and paid him $600,000. So you know, you take a job for $2.25, and if they get rid of you, they'll give you 2.5 times that. I mean, that's pretty appealing to a lot of people, David.
Right, maybe they'll be in. Maybe right, they'll wipe out the concerns and be inundated with applications.
Yeah, are you kidding me? There are going to be people lining out the door for that job.
This will be right. They'll have to hire people just to help them handle the extra applications they get.
All right, last thing in a minute here, David. You mentioned Frank White III. I mean, how competent he is at any of this, I don't know. He was initially hired to be a senior manager of marketing for the transit agency after being in the insurance business for years. Is there anything to suggest that he is capable and competent to do this in the next minute?
Well, look, from those profiles, he doesn't have a transit background aside from being with this agency now for several years. He could be a very bright guy. He could be a good manager, and he could have been doing a good job for them. He's now at this Ride KC part, which is about project development, sort of outside the general lane of transit. Look, if he's better at politics than transit, and he handles that part of the job best and leaves transit to transit professionals, I guess it can work. But you're really only going to know this if they make him the permanent CEO, and they're saying they're probably not.
Yeah.
But if they were to do so, and you had a nationwide search with an open and fully transparent process, that's the only way you'll be able to judge, is that if people can see who's applied, see the resumes of who's applied,
and
have the public participate in the process, at least in some capacity.
Yeah. David Stokes, Show Me Institute. David, good to have you on. And I promise you, if we ever fire you from the show, there's no $600,000 check showing up in the mail, my friend. Have a great day.
I hope you don't fire me, but we'll discuss if that ever happens.
All right. You're the man. He's David Stokes on KCMO Talk Radio.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.